and they wasting time. I'm getting mine, getting mine. I hear on the hustle, stay on the grind. I'm getting mine, getting mine. Suckers out here hating, they wasting time. I'm getting mine, getting mine. I hear every day I stay on the grind.
So, Rick Muscle, before we discuss anything else on the Squatland Yard podcast, the EDSBS sideshow of strength and sometimes conditioning, I want to know, how did you get in a sauna with Charles Barkley?
Well, you know, I've written on my Twitter page before about Charles Barkley and how he works at our gym and how he just kind of lumbers up and down on the treadmill. And I just finished up a workout that night, and I noticed that Charles was in front of me. And he does an okay job of being inconspicuous in the weight room, but he'll still wear, like, free stuff that they gave him at the NBA All-Star game. So it doesn't really work. And he might have the biggest head you've ever seen in your life. I mean, everybody in Birmingham pretty much has a pretty cool Charles Barkley story, because he goes to normal bars, like you'll see him at Innisfree or other places where just pretty much everybody goes.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was walking in front of me, and I was just kind of like laughing. I saw him the day before. We chatted a second. I just kind of thanked him for being in town, because it was just nice having him and having a, you know, famous person and get on camera and stuff like that and raise awareness. But what happened was he was walking in, and there's a couple free newspapers in the cubbyhole.
Yeah.
Going into the gym, and he ran through the free newspapers real quick and grabbed that. And I take a steam bath every time after I work out, just because I'm horribly unhealthy. So he's going in there, and I was following him in, and you know, we were both naked, and which was the strangest thing ever. And if you hear the stories about him being only 6'4", that might be the case. But his ass is 2 feet wide and 2 feet tall.
No, you don't know this, but I've talked with Charles, uh-huh. And there's a good chance that Charles doesn't know it either, because if you've met him, he has the attention span of a toddler.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And but I've met and talked with him, and one, you are right about his head. His head is the size of a bull's head. I mean, that's a good comparison in terms of the size. If you slap horns on the side of it, you might not even notice it. You just say, oh, that's livestock walking around in a polo shirt. That's Charles Barkley. Two, his ass really is like 2 feet wide. It's huge.
His head looks like a 500-pound milk dud.
I really think for him, people knock his fitness. Carrying around that head, yeah. That was what made him a professional athlete. Everything else is just extra conditioning.
Yeah. Oh, he's sweating like it's 1993 and he's playing for the 76ers. I mean, he's working hard in there. I mean, I don't know if it'll ever work. But so we were chilling out in the steam room for a minute, and he started reading something in the newspaper and just started dying out laughing. And I was playing it cool. Like, I wasn't like, you know, like, hey, Sir Charles, what do you think about the Hawks in this situation? You know what I mean? Like everybody else does. Like, I was just going to wait for him to talk to me.
Right.
And to seem cool. And, of course, that happened, because I don't think he can not have somebody in a room with him that's not talk to him. So then he just died out laughing about this NASCAR joke about somebody sprinkling their ashes on the Daytona track. And then somebody was like, yeah, he's already passed Dale Earnhardt Jr. like four times. And like, he just died out laughing at that. And then, he was like, he told me the joke. I was like, oh man, that's hysterical. Like, just kind of playing along with him. And then we got in like a 10-minute conversation about how awesome Dale Earnhardt Jr. is and how bad he wants to party with him. But
so just to recap your week, non-training wise, you were naked with Charles Barkley and you discussed how awesome Dale Earnhardt Jr. was.
Yeah, it's been, my life is spiraling out of control right now. I can't live a normal life for some reason.
I will say this too. If you should ever run into Charles Barkley, and the chances of that happening, pretty good actually.
Yeah.
If it does happen, he will talk to anyone. So don't think, oh, maybe I shouldn't walk up and talk to Charles. No, yeah. No. You need to just go ahead and saunter up and start the conversation, because he'll do it before you will. He's that kind of dude. In case you haven't gotten this far into it, by the way, I'm Orson Swindle, sometimes known as Spencer Hall, on the website EDSBS. And joining me is Rick Muscles from the Twitter feed, Rick Muscles. I encourage you to follow it. He's a humorous man. And we both like working out. And I have to tell you, in my own training narrative, I'm heading up to vacation. And that's a great thing because, son, I done pulled a hamstring. No deadlifting, no squat. I'm strictly on injury rehab and upper body. It's like the frat boy workout all over again. Although I did hit a PR on my one rep bench this week. So that's not bad. For me, long arms, weak ass chest, 255 pounds.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, and it didn't feel like too much of a train wreck. So that goes to show you, even in a bad week, even when you're doing rehab exercises and following the STAR injury protocol, which we can talk about a little bit later, by the way, in terms of rehabbing yourself, you can still salvage something from it, right? So that's what's been going on with me. Next week I go on vacation, and I won't be doing anything. I'll be walking on the beach, maybe doing push-ups, and might take the pull-up bar. That's it. How about you, son? How are you going on week 428 of Muscle and Fitness's Suicidal Rock Hard Challenge?
It's killing me. The workout, I stayed out a little bit too late on Monday night because Guitar Wolf was in town, and I'm obsessed with that band. But the next day my workout was, and I couldn't do all of it. I had to split it up. It was a giant set of shoulders, where it was, this is the whole workout, where it was lateral raise, rear delt raise, dumb upright rows, and then military presses, all three sets of 25, all in a row.
Three sets of 25?
Yeah, okay. Hold on, I'm not done yet. Then it was shrugs. It was a three-way shrugs. It was the prone shrug, three sets of 25, with the seated shrug, three sets of 25, and then the standing shrug at three sets of 25. I did that all with 40-pound weights, and I was burned out after that. Then the workout is you lunge three sets of 25, squat three sets of 25. Then you do Romanian deadlift, which is basically, if you don't know what that is, that's a straight leg deadlift, three sets of 25. And leg extension, three sets of 25.
And at what weight? What percentage of your max?
I did 95 pounds. I wasn't going to do any more.
Yeah, I was going to say, what percentage of your max? Or are you just doing flat 95 across the board?
I just did flat 95 across the board. Because I wanted to make sure I did it as quickly as possible. Because that was more the point of it. It's not so much the weight on that lift. It's more, you know, the duration. It's more like circuit training in that sense. Because that's why it's the 25. It's just getting it done.
Can I ask, at this point, after all this lifting, have you peed blood yet?
No. I hadn't got to that point. Like I've been taking breaks here and there. I didn't do it exactly the way it was supposed to go. I mean, I took some trips to New Orleans and, you know, you know, here and there I've missed some workouts, but you know, I lost 15 pounds and I'm stronger than I've ever been. You know, I weigh 195 pounds and I'm squatting about 315. I bet I could get 315 up about six or seven times right now, I think.
By the way, let me just say, you should have lost 15 pounds.
Yeah.
You should have lost 15 pounds from just dropping a kidney. Like, from literally from pooping out a kidney on this plan.
Yeah.
And how many weeks do you have left to go?
Three.
Three? You still have 3 weeks? Muscle and fitness, baby.
Yeah. I mean, it's worked. It did exactly what it said it would do. I was happy about. Now I've been thinking about my next workout.
It really should. That's like when this week there's been a flood of articles about how awesome the Navy SEALs are, and they're like, yeah, they're really fit. I'm like, yeah, you should be. If seriously, if all you do all day long are push-ups, pull-ups, swim, and run, and then run through an obstacle course, yeah, you should be pretty fit. People are like, yeah, I want to get in that kind of shape. I'm like, well...
Like, you I don't need to devote 10 hours a day to it.
I don't know if you've seen this, but there is a website called, just in case like CrossFit wasn't enough for you, right? There is a website called SealFit. SealFit. You should never be able to say that without like the echoey radio voice booming in, you know, via bass behind it. And let me just give you a standard idea of what SealFit will put you through. Okay? Which people are going to say, oh, this is badass. I will tell you, this is the stupidest fitness website ever. Okay? You're not a Navy SEAL. If you're listening to this and you are a Navy SEAL, don't point it out. Because one, I'm not supposed to know that, neither is anyone else. And two, you already know that. That should be its own kind of comfort. Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm a badass. So here's what SealFit wants to sell you. Okay? This is what you're supposed to do today. Okay? Today, all in one day. Baseline, range of motion drills. 20 reps of a sandbag getup, which is a Turkish getup with the sandbag. Probably weighs about 40, 50 pounds. And run 800 meters. That's called baseline, okay? Then your strength. Oh, just your standard front squat set broken down. 864333.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not done. Stamina. Run a chipper, okay? Meaning a kind of barbell complex of going 15 times front squat at 90% of your three rep max. Okay? Then 200 meters overhead walking lunge with the PVC pipe because they're feeling nice. And then 800 meters of a farmer's carry, 2 times 70 pounds. 800 meters. That's like half a mile.
Yeah.
Okay? But I'm not done. Then, under their work capacity category, we have a 21-15-9 workout with clean and jerk and ring dips. Clean and jerk's done at 135 pounds.
Wow.
No matter your body weight, right? And then, oh, your durability workout. By the way, this is what they put last. Just, you know, durability. After you've done all that, they're like, well, we've got to make sure you're durable. 5 times 200 meters sprints at 30-second interval, 100 sit-ups, and 100 crunches. And then the final instruction, stretch. Seriously?
Yeah.
This makes muscle and fitness seem very reasonable.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. I might have to look this up and try it. And well, no, I can't have time to do that.
No. We'll do this. You're going to take a week off, and we're going to put you through their SEAL experience. Oh, here's the best part. We could literally put you through this, man. We could put you through their camp. Okay, their 2011 camp, the Kokoro camp, all right? I'll read you the description. The camp is an intense crucible experience based off the famous Navy SEAL Hell Week concept. But with a focus on teaching through experience rather than making you quit. Our mission is to develop mental toughness and promote your spiritual growth in this one kind of training. One of a kind training. 50 hours of intense physical and internal work. Literally, they're going to open up your abdomen and work with you internally. And, you know, you might welcome that as opposed to doing another set of 30 push-ups, which is probably what they do a lot of.
Yeah.
Yeah, the program is intense, a 10 on a 10-point scale of difficulty and suitable for those who have been training CrossFit or for a special ops selection program for some time. I think we need to get you in on this.
I don't know. I mean, like, that feels like BDSM to me.
I would rather. Seriously, if I can get you a week, like, if I can write these people and be like, he wants to write about this, and he'll, it'd be great publicity. If I can get you to do this, all right, if I can get a freebie, will you do it?
Yeah, I'll do it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've been through football camps and things like that, you know, in Memphis with the, you know, our school was right next to the Memphis Zoo and our football practice was, and we got down one of the monkeys and we would, you know, play 3 days all day, and that's what I dealt with.
Oh,
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
oh my God. Guess what? This doesn't end, by the way. It doesn't end. They have a 3-week variation of this.
Oh my God.
They have a 3-week academy. Oh,
like, hire a dominatrix. I mean, what, you know what I mean? Like, if you hate yourself that much, and that's what, like, is hating yourself and misery. I mean,
3 weeks, and they ask you to pay for it. Oh, that's good. Yeah, you rock on, SealFit. You do that, all you SEALs who've been going to CrossFit for 3 years, and you're like, I don't know, been paying for an expensive gym for 3 years. Think I'm ready to go become a fake SEAL. Let's do this. Love you guys. Seriously, let's get Rick Muscles in for free so you can make me look like a complete piece of shit for talking all this shit about your training program. I'm sure you'd be fit.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. You'd be ripped. Your soul would be broken, too. We'd never do this podcast again.
Yeah. I'd probably cry blood.
You'd come back and be like, I'm never speaking to you again. Never. Never.
You'd see the shit I've seen.
Yeah. You're not elite like me. I'm beyond elite. I'm SEAL fit. SEAL fit. Now that we've recapped this and we've made fun of this for a solid 5 minutes, we have reader emails. Highlight of this program. Reader email. Would you like to get us started on those?
Yeah, I got a question. Zach Huddleston emailed me at rickmuscles@gmail.com, which is my new email address that I put up. He asked. He's working up to in a powerlifting competition right now, and he wanted to know what we thought were the manliest types of cardio. He's got jump rope, treadmill, elliptical, or the Stairmaster.
Okay, so again, we're reviewing the manliest types of cardio. He's got jump rope.
Yep.
Right. Elliptical.
Yep.
Stairmaster.
Yep.
I think he's missing a few, and I think you know what direction I'm going to go with this, right?
Yeah, I think I do too.
Okay, prowler.
Yep.
Yeah, if your gym has a prowler, use it. It's a very awesome gym if you do have a prowler. My gym is awesome, and we don't have a prowler. It would be max awesome if we actually had one. A prowler, in case you don't know, is a weighted sled. It kind of looks like a triangle with skis, and the poles stick out of the back, and the poles, you put weights on those, and you push it by the poles, either high or low. It's essentially a sled pull or a sled push, and it is brutal. It is undoubtedly the manliest form of cardio. I would also say jump rope. Jump rope beats either one of those, by the way.
I jump rope like crazy. I could do rope tricks. I could do the crisscross. I could do one foot. I could double jump. I could do all that stuff. I love jump roping.
Yeah, that's
jump rope for every workout.
I despise it. It shouldn't be done by adults. See, in this program, we disagree. There is no consensus. There's no propaganda.
Yeah.
Rick Muscles is quite talented at these things. I, meanwhile, have a talent for throwing jump ropes into my eyes or toes. I'm quite good at it. So I would say that if you're coordinated, jump rope is awesome. And I have much respect for those who can do it. However, they're children. And you shouldn't play with children's things. You're a man. Put it away. But jump roping is cool. The elliptical, you shouldn't do it unless you're injured. Or unless you're just getting started, I think.
I'd do the elliptical. If I had the choice between the elliptical and the treadmill, I'll take the elliptical just because you're doing more of something. You know what I mean?
I think you are doing more of something. And I will say, I think the calorie counts are inflated on those.
Probably.
Yeah. And if you have, like me, if you have, like, massive IT band problems, you're going to be on the elliptical. I say this as somebody who is on the elliptical more than I would like to be because of my cursed iliotibial band. That's why. Ah. Okay. I would much rather actually be outside running. And by the way, if you have to take care of this, right? If you're like, oh, what's... Go outside and run. Even if it's intervals, even if it's sprints, even if it's hill sprints, because one, you're going to get sunshine at the same time. And seriously, if you work inside, it's hard to get enough sun in a day. It really is. You gotta, unless you're getting out and you're going for a walk every morning, which that's another one, by the way, another underrated, if you're a big lifter, walking in the morning for 40 minutes and getting it out of the way, that's a great way to just... quickly. This is a Grayskull method with Johnny Payne, who I think we're going to have on the program here in a couple of weeks. But
I'm so tired of these guys and their fake names.
I know, Johnny Payne. I think he's legally had his name changed to that. And if he hasn't, I'm just going to make up the story. But walking in the morning is a great way to just go ahead and get in the habit of getting around, moving, and actually getting in something like cardio and burning some fat and creating sort of a sap on all of those calories you consume. It's a nice little sort of thing to do, right? And over time, it really will add up. Of course, over time, you have to do it for a long time. But it's also nice because you're on a walk. It's very pleasant. So those would be my opinions. What are we missing manly cardio-wise?
Boxing?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
That's a
her
big...
punched on the bag, and we just got bags issued in Adaro, our gym, and we're pretty excited about those. All the idiots are punching on those things. All the guys who work out in jeans.
I would say this, though. My only caution with boxing is you have to know how to throw a punch, and there's a very, very, very small percentage of the population that actually knows how to throw a punch without hurting themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, but boxing, certainly. Simeon Rice, that used to be his off-season regimen.
That was a popular thing. I mean, like, you ever thought that Matt, with the defensive end, Jared Allen, after he did the MMA training?
That's another thing.
It's sort of the same thing.
I would go ahead and put that in there as well. I think another sort of real manly form of cardio is anything that the MMA guys do, which tends to be a lot of sort of like quick rep, 5 to 8 minutes, a very intense effort. Often done in rounds between exercises, right? Where you're just doing like a couplet of two exercises or maybe three exercises. They're very like MMA, very CrossFitty. They all sort of have the same pattern. I think that's an extremely mansome thing to do for cardio.
Yeah. Box jumps.
Box jumps. You know what? I'll stand for this too. Swimming.
Oh, yeah. Somebody asked me about my Tabata swimming method that I was doing. I got one of those questions on here. I can't remember the name of the guy on it, but... I almost threw up after that one day.
No. And you won't even know that you're doing it.
Yeah. It just happens after it's done, and then you can't move.
Yeah, no.
You just lie by the pool.
Right. And the only thing, I will tell you this, the only thing to look for when you're working out in the pool is a slight feeling that one might be sweatier than you think. That's it. One might be very, 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 like, slightly sort of kind of sweaty. You'll be like... Oh boy, it's as if I'm sitting in my own private microwave. And then you get out of the pool and you're like, I have to go throw up. I will also say, too, if you're injured, pool running. I speak as somebody who has been injured in every possible way. Pool running, ask Ryan Mallett, you'll have enough of it. Because it's really, 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 really tough to do. Okay, we should move on to our next question.
Okay, we've got Michael the G1. He says, he did a functional workout over the winter and got stronger, but also soft in the middle. Do you have a lean and mean plan?
A lean and mean plan. I can tell you a couple of different lean and mean plans. All right. But if you have one first, I'd be interested to see if it covers any of mine.
I would say give interval training a try. Look at the Tabata methods. Also look at other interval training methods. You know, go a little bit lighter. You're going to lose the fat on it, but you won't lose so much strength. You'll still get sore. That's what I would argue. And then, you know, maybe go back to that functional workout over the winter and, you know, because just balance it out as much as you can. I mean, that might be going too light for what you're wanting to do, but that's what I would say.
Yeah. If you are, I'd say the first bugbear for anybody is to cut out loose sugar in your diet, whatever it may be. And that includes beer, right?
Yeah.
That includes beer and excessive drinking because that'll wreck you. It'll wreck you so hard. It'll wreck you so fast in terms. And I say this as somebody, by the way, who I actually tried losing weight for the first time this off season because at the end of off season, I was roughly like Barkley sized. and if you do that, I think I took a bit too extreme a method on the diet, mm-hmm. which was cutting basically most carbohydrates out. You can't do that forever, right? You have to have some sort of moderation. But I think that's one way to do it. Interval training is another way to do it. But, you know, long, slow stuff, I think it's a bad rap, and it really shouldn't, especially in terms of, like, walking or slow jogging. You know, that's fine to do in the morning, I think, as long as you space it out, right? That's another way to go ahead and sort of, like, slowly sap this kind of stuff. It depends on how you want to do it. You can do it too fast, and generally if you do it too fast, that means – you'll cut everything. You'll cut sugar. You'll cut alcohol. You know, you'll do a bunch of like sprints and you'll do interval training and everything and you'll lose it all and then you'll gain it back. Or you could take a slightly more, you know, moderate approach to it and drag it out over some time. I think it really depends on what you're going for. But generally, if you just sort of say, I'm not going to eat cheap calories and I'm going to make sure that I get something in the realm of 40 minutes of motion-related exercise a day.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good start to it. And if you don't have time, interval training is a nice way to go about it.
Okay. All right. At Danny Ford is God. He doesn't necessarily have a question. He just has a statement. I know Muscle Milk is a product, but my muscles actually do lactate. Yeah, it's awkward. Not really a question.
Well, I know for a fact that he's in China now. So considering the overall ambient soup of pollutants surrounding every resident of coastal China, no one will notice. There's a lot of people probably just lactating randomly anyway. So I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that many people there, I guess there's some weird stuff that goes on.
And mind you, I say this too. China has the finest strength training program in the world in terms of Olympic weightlifting.
No, I believe that.
Oh, yeah. Remember, the expression is, no matter how much you lift, somewhere a Chinese woman is warming up with your max.
Okay. Justin Lavore, at Justin Lavore, he asked, what are your thoughts on lifting in minimal shoes? And I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I want to get a new pair of shoes here. And I've been trying to determine what my best option is. I've been lifting in an old pair of New Balances for a while, and I'm starting to think that's a bad option.
Yeah, you should stop lifting in that shit.
Yeah, no, I just don't. Always done it.
I've been lucky enough to work out with Justin Lasik of 70s Big, who's in town for a bit, and the shoe thing gets really important, especially if you want to lift anything remotely heavy.
Yeah.
And here's why it's important, okay? Lifting in a minimal shoe is not horrible. It's not, okay? But if you're serious about any of the big lifts like squat, deadlift, you know, if you do cleans, if you do snatches, if you do clean and jerks, and frankly, even when you do overhead press, you really need to have that kind of support and that kind of stability because it is a lot of stress on your body and you want everything to be as anchored as possible. And this is why you don't lift in big, fluffy shoes. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not – Rick Muscles and I aren't experts. But I can certainly quote experts, okay?
Yeah.
And all the big lifters and all the strength coaches I know, you can't lift in those. And they will all to a man say this. You can't lift in those because they are squishy. That's why. They're designed to protect your feet. And they roll. Now, minimal shoes, and I think by this he means like Nike Freeze, and he means, Converse All-Stars, and he means anything that's just got like a really flat shoe. Or I've even seen people lift in Vibrams, okay?
Yeah, I am not comfortable with that. Like, that just looks – I just don't feel like your toes are protected, and I've just always been in these gyms where people are, you know, oh, man, be careful on your feet and stuff like that, you know, like guys who, like – you know, you see ladies and stuff like that who'll come out of yoga practice and start lifting flip-flops and be on the floor. That scares me to death.
And it's got like a big lifting shoes. And if you get them, seriously, lifting shoes are not expensive.
Yeah.
They're really not. And there's a reason. You can't use them for anything else. And they're and they're ugly as shit. Okay?
Yeah.
but really, you can get good weightlifting shoes for like, you know, 60, 70 bucks. You can. I've got a pair of Dewins that I ordered from Rogue Fitness, and the Dewins ran me, gosh, with shipping, they probably ran me about 90 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
80 bucks, 90 bucks. You know, they might be more expensive depending on what you get, but this is what you're going to get. You're going to get support,
mm-hmm.
all right? It's going to anchor your foot. It's got a big, flat, wooden sole. It isn't going anywhere. It's got good grip on the floor, so you're not going to slip. Even when you're doing Olympic lifts, right? Like if you do a clean and jerk, you're going to pop that right foot forward. You don't want that to slip. And I think that's one of the big disadvantages of most what he calls minimalist shoes or flat sole shoes, right?
Yeah.
Is that your grip might slip on those, okay? And when the weight's heavy, you really don't want that happening because that's when very bad things happen to ligaments and bones. And the final thing is when you are – is that – there's a slight rise. There's an inch or so in the heel, okay? And that is going to put you in your heels on big lifts, all right? It's really going to help you on deadlifts and squats, particularly because it's going to keep your weight in your heels. It's going to transfer everything to the posterior chain, and it's going to help your form. So I think that's the big advantage, the latter one that I mentioned, the latter two that I mentioned, grip and that little heel rise, the little stack effect. It's kind of like a, you know, muscular David Bowie glam effect. Fashion-wise, but it's a really salubrious thing in terms of improving your lifts. I know that when I went to a pair of lifting shoes, my deadlift felt better, and I had a 15-pound PR the next week.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, just because it really did help correct form. So That would be my argument for lifting shoes. Okay, just don't ever try to do anything else in them because every bit of shock goes directly to your shins.
Sure. Gotcha. All right. Hashiel Dammit asks us, is swole ever an acceptable term for strength bros? How about strength?
I like Mel Kiper's strength.
Yeah. I say strength is completely acceptable. Completely. There's always a crazy guy in the gym who just starts screaming about his strength at some point. So I say I'm 100% on that one. With swole, it determines how big the guy who says swole is.
Exactly. Like, if the dude who says swole has traps that go directly into his ears, that's fine. Actually, if he wants to do anything, that's fine. Because you can't stop him, okay? It's not possible. So I'm fine with swole because, by definition, I think the usage of it by somebody who's even thinking about this is ironic, and I endorse that.
Okay. At Paradigm Shift 35, he asks, do you support the 5 seconds down, 5 seconds up lifting technique?
What say you? I have an answer. But
my thing is, this is something that I've really been thinking about since we started this podcast. It's like, what's the right way to lift weights? What's the best way to do something? And I'm not so sure that there's a right or wrong way to do anything. I mean, there's a right way form-wise. You know, if you're doing the lift right, and, you know, you're doing the 5 seconds up, 5 seconds down program, that's a fine program. I mean, what's important on it is that you're trying hard your best, you're making sure your form's right, and you're really putting in effort into the lifting and caring about it, you know, making sure that when you're done in the gym that you're the front of your shirt's sweaty, you know, that kind of thing. I think that's when you get the real gains. I'm so sure, like, just different programs or different gimmicks or things like that's really the question. And you do need to change up as much as you can on these lifts and things like that. I mean, you can't go in and do the same thing every day and out like I'm doing right now, or you'll go crazy in there, you know, and you'll plane out and you'll get tired of it. But that's sort of my opinion on that.
Yeah, there's a diverse number of schools on this, right? I mean, this goes too with, like, what, rest?
Right? Yeah.
Oh, you know, I don't know, you know, like, what is your, you know, what is your ideal rest? What is your ideal rep number? Right. I think there's more established scientific knowledge on the benefits of specific rep numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think that there is a cut and dry method for time on a lift, especially when you consider the type of lift. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the type of lift is pretty important here too. For instance, if you're going to do a squat, okay. There's a school of squatting that says that, you know, you should get a bounce out of the hamstrings and it should be an explosive lift. You should, you know, go down, maintain reasonably good form, but don't think about it. And then you're going to pop off and almost bounce it, right?
Yeah, that's kind of how it's called, the lift.
Right. You're going to get a dynamic bounce out of that, and you're going to make sure that you come out of the bottom hard, right? Mm-hmm. And then compare that to a deadlift. You don't want that on a deadlift, right? Deadlift mm-hmm. is a big, slow lift. So I would just say, from what I know and from what I can go ahead and quote, that, yeah, if you can do slow weightlifting, obviously you're not going to have any kind of explosiveness that you develop out of that. You'll probably use other lifts to do that. Also, it's kind of time consuming. That's the other thing about 5 seconds up, 5 seconds down. And it's only going to hurt you more if you have terrible form, right? I would just focus on having really good form and being able to do the lift in an explosive manner. Right, depending on whether that's appropriate for the lift. That would be my answer for it. Right.
Yeah,
I will also say this from personal experience, you'll get bored as hell with slow lifting.
Yeah.
Fast.
Weightlifting is an emotional thing for me too. I get a high stress job, you know, I get and going into the gym and banging things out really, really hard, you know, that's what makes me feel better about going to bed at night. You know, it's kind of my way of decompressing, if you will. That's kind of my opinion on that one. Douglas A. Baird asks, most lifters have a bit of a circus strongman in them. So strangest thing ever squatted.
The strange. Yeah. I'm trying to think about the strangest thing I know has ever been squatted. The strangest thing. If you have a good answer, I was trying to think of the weirdest thing I can think of being squatted.
we had to squat each other for football hazing in college. And I think we did that in our jock straps, if I remember correctly.
You know, I think the weirdest thing, I will go to a kind of lame answer because I can't really think of anything too unusual. I think there was one World's Strongest Man in Malta where they, you know, no, it was in Mauritius. I remember this was specifically in Mauritius where they had a big leg press, right? And what they were leg pressing was a bench full of children. And I remember thinking, and they would like, you know, in order to like make it more difficult, they would have another kid come on. And I remember thinking, well, there's a couple of interesting scenarios here. One, these kids are like, man, Westerners are weird, man. They come here, build a bench so these huge roided out guys can come squat us. And two, do you think the strongmen were looking up and they're like, where's the fat kid? Where's the, oh shit, there's the fat kid. The fat kid had to know it too, right? Like fat kid sitting on the bench. He comes over and like, you know, that's the one that breaks the guy. That's a bad morale moment for you.
I always remember those where they squatted the ladies. Like they had the beautiful ladies. They look like NWA wrestling ladies from back in the day. It was always crack me up.
You know, why didn't, you know, like, it would be much funnier if they were like your aunts up there, you know, if there was just like some middle-aged ladies looking kind of nervous about the whole thing.
Oh, just really upset.
Oh, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Just really disgusted by like every guy that was going to squat them.
They're all like, oh,
like, oh God,
we're going to go home and join Curves and eat the zero calorie noodles. That's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to do, ladies. Oh, all right. Next question.
Okay. GB Dawkins asks, I seem to have reached a plateau when I can bench squat. Any tips for breaking through?
Breaking the plateau.
Age old question.
That is. I will ask you first because I have notes on this actually, because this was something I knew that was going to be asked. So I'm going to go to you first on this on as to what's worked for you.
You know, I change my workouts up a whole bunch. You know, I'm never going to be great at something. You know, I don't really pay attention to how much it can do. And I know that's wrong. You're not supposed to do that. But at the same time, I change things up as much as I can, and I try and keep weightlifting as fun as possible for me. And that means, you know, figuring out different ways to work out and stuff like that. So, I mean, my ultimate goal is just never to be bored in the weight room. It's always to go in and have a good time and stuff like that. So you work and work and work to get to these goals and make your plateaus. But I think ultimately figuring out new ways to go in and changing up your workout, I think that's the best way to work your plateau. That said, also, pure will. If you have the will to do it, make yourself do it, figure out a way.
Yeah, I would do this. One, I would consider, what are you eating? You're probably not eating enough protein.
Yeah.
And that's true. That's a cliche, but it is true. You're probably not eating enough. You know, the rule that heavy lifters will tell you is 1 gram per pound of lean body mass. And if you don't know what your lean body mass is, go get fat tanked. Right.
Definitely.
Yeah. And find out what you got. Right. It may be terrifying. I found out I was a delicious 24.5% body fat before I started my diet. Right. I'm basically foie gras. You may find out the same, okay? But that's kind of what you should be at least getting close to. It's kind of hard to do. Own up. Like, don't be like, God, it's easy. No, it's hard. You gotta cram a shake in. You gotta cram an extra hamburger in. I mean, it's difficult to do, and you probably won't want to eat at the end of the day. But if you're serious about, you know, breaking that and getting over that, that is certainly one way to do it. Another one, by the way, is the periodized linear progression, which is the Grayscale reset, which I cite these guys a lot, but Johnny has a way of putting things in a very clear and simple manner, okay? For instance, if your bench press is stuck at 210 pounds, okay, you calculate 10% of the bar weight, right, and then you determine 90% of the previous working weight as a start point, okay? So the example he has in his book is 210 pounds times 90%, it's 189, right? Then you round down, and then The next several workouts are like 185 times 5 times 2, 185 times 11 times 11. And you're really going to work up that number very, very in small increments, okay, over the next series of workouts. I mean, really, very, very small increments. You know, those little plates, they exist for a reason. You're still moving up. That's one thing to do, is just to use the small plates and see if you can go ahead and make small incremental changes. Okay, working below your max. That's very important too, because one thing you can do when you plateau is you're working out too much. Okay. Right? You're not getting enough rest, right? You know, if you're lifting 4 or 5 times a week and you're not eating and you're not taking steroids, for instance, you're probably going to plateau pretty quickly because you can't.
Getting out till 1 a.m. at night and then getting up and going to work at 7.
Right. And then on your final set, what they do is, and really check out the Grayskull LP book that he offers for sale. It's totally worth it on their website, which is strengthvillain.com. And we'll include these links, by the way. We cite all kinds of cool stuff, so you should go check them out. You bring down the reps on the last set, and you really see what you can do for a max on that. And generally, you're breaking new territory. You might even break it just by, you know, 5 pounds, 7 pounds, maybe even 10 pounds. That's still progress, right? That's still moving forward, and that's kind of the point of this whole thing. Also, I would just make sure you're sleeping and eating enough and recovering and not working out like an idiot too much.
Okay. Well, this is the final question. It comes from at Razor Jamon, or Jamon, if you don't know the Spanish ha sound. Gym attire. Tank tops on dudes who are not powerlifting. False.
You know, I'm going to say this. I think it's okay on black dudes and rednecks. And I have no reason for saying that. But
yeah,
I've
always grown up in gyms where I admire the man who wore his work boots, blue jeans, and a tank top to work out. And, if you know, from Decatur, Alabama to Memphis, Tennessee to Birmingham, Alabama, I've always worked out with that man. And God bless him.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with it. Now, if you're wearing the tank top, when is it impermissible? You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I'm not all that judgmental when it comes to workout gear.
I'm not either.
Because frankly, seriously, if you're wearing a tank top, I suspect this is the reason. The tank top is a fallen item of clothing.
Yep.
At one point, it was in the douchebags who spend a lot of money on gear thing. And then it fell into just like lower middle class to lower class clothing, right? And it's still there. If you wear a tank top, to me, that just says, I don't give a fuck. I'm here to work out.
I think the wife beater kind of killed that too. I think that got too popular.
Yeah, I think because they do kind of overlap.
Yeah.
Remember, I've said the only tank top I can't stand is the Euro Van Damme tank top, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The one that cuts really low and is in fact a women's tank top. That irritates the living shit out of me.
See, I have an issue too. I've never discussed this with you. I have probably am more hairy than you.
Oh no, you're hairier than I am.
Okay, yeah. I never know if we ever discussed this or not. I have a patch of hair on the very backs of my triceps. It is kind of the grossest thing ever. I could shave it. I could, but I'm kind of lazy about it. But that's why I can never wear a tank top. That's just me.
Yeah, no, and I will not wear them because frankly I can't pull it off. I can't. You have to have, like, big arms. And I've got long, skinny arms.
Yeah.
You know, so I know. I can't pull it off. That's why, it's why I don't ever take my shirt off, man.
I'll let my chest hair peek out the top of my unbuttoned polo shirt. But I don't like it peeking out the back of my arms chest hair.
That's fine. But, man, the tank, you got to have, like, there's some confidence there. And, frankly, if you're going to the gym with that kind of confidence, I'm not going to take it away from you.
No.
I don't work like that. I'm about love. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you do your thing, mullet guy in the tank top. Now, if you're wearing a bunch of Under Armour,
then,
and I don't just have a problem with that because it's one of the things keeping Auburn afloat financially. No, I have a problem with that because you don't need it and because it's entirely unnecessary, right? It's wearing a wetsuit on dry land. Yeah. Even Jacques Cousteau took to the sea in a Speedo if he absolutely didn't have to wear a wetsuit, okay? Functionality, people. Under Armour clearly isn't.
Overly branding on yourself, I think, would be. You know, it's cool to wear a pair of Nike shorts. You don't need the Nike shirt to go with it.
Do you need that
and
much
the Nike socks?
Exactly. Do you need that much sweat wicking in an air conditioned gym?
Yeah.
You don't. Are you currently bench pressing on an active coral bed which could burn your flesh? No. You don't need it. Unless you're working out at a gym that is in fact in an active living reef. And if you are, well, good for you.
Or if they're paying you to wear it.
If they're paying you to wear it, awesome.
Yeah. God bless you.
Way to go. But man, I'm not really about gear. I work out in these same raggedy ass t-shirts and cut off sweats that I have worked out in for the past like 4 years.
Yeah. I think that's it for all the questions I've got. We're going to overlap some of these.
Okay.
Go the next week.
I think we can just go ahead and have a short discussion on Planet Fitness and just agree that it sucks.
Really not a fan of Planet Fitness right now. I know we probably should have hit this earlier and been on the forefront of this. And probably to many of you, we are. So just realize how original and interesting we are about talking about this. But, you know, Planet Fitness, you know, they've had these making these gyms, and these poor men are trying to get there and get these great workouts in, and then they're being turned away, and I think that's criminal.
Yeah, Slate, by the way, had a great piece on this.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a huge fan of Slate, because typically they're like, hey, that thing you thought was bad, it's actually good, or that thing you thought was good was actually bad, or LOL, white people problems, right? Like, that's that's pretty much all of their, like, articles all in one, and then Christopher Hitchens, that's it. But they had a good article in this where the writer said it's curves for men and it's for people who hate the gym. And I agree because one, you should be able to make noise in a gym. Two, you should be able to drop the weights.
Yeah.
Okay. And three, I do think this, I think any gym should be supportive of somebody who wants to get stronger.
Yeah.
That's it. It shouldn't be an intimidation factor. You shouldn't be a dick about it. You shouldn't offer advice that people don't want, but if somebody's in there lifting weights, the staff should correct their form. You should be cool with that, and you should be supportive, even if maybe they're diesel weaseling it out and doing the world's worst deadlift. That's okay. Here's how to do it, and don't be a dick.
You know, also too, you know, these gyms, and they're talking about, you know, they don't want people sweating and things like that. If you're not sweating through your t-shirt by the end of your workout, like, there's, you really just, you're just wasting your time. I mean, there's no reason to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we're pretty clear on fuck them.
Yeah.
That's it. And I will include this with the post, that there's the best commercial in this Slate article for Iron Gyms, which is some chain out of Pennsylvania where it's this gym where they have like Atlas Stones and Prowlers and like big heavy duty squat racks. And this guy who walks in, they're like, oh, I don't know, he set the weights down. Shouldn't that set off an alarm? And then this massive dude with, like, huge traps and, like, a Stone Cold Steve Austin face looks at him like, it's fantastic. All right, I believe now it's time to close the podcast, which has gone long, but, you know, fuck it. We'll let it go long. Our moment of inspiration, our inspirational figure, something you saw that made you want to be stronger this week, Rick Muscles?
Well, I've read an article about one of the first man to squat 1,000 pounds, who was under 300 pounds. And it turns out he is a bit of a hero to me. It's old Handsome Rick. This gentleman's named Chuck Vogelpohl, and he is a prison guard in Ohio. I posted some videos of them, and they're kind of amazing. Watched him squat 1,000 pounds. Let's see, some of the great moments he's had. One time he rolled his vehicle one week on a Monday, rolled his vehicle over. Then on Thursday, he rolled the rental vehicle that his insurance company provided him, and then he still went and competed and squatted over 1,000 pounds on Saturday.
Oh, my God.
I'm reading this verbatim. There's the time Chuck tore both his hamstrings in a prison football game, then showed up at the gym for his back workout, hauling himself up and down the lat pull-down machine with his hands and arms to change the weight on the stack.
Oh, man, that's brilliant.
Yeah. When you do lift with him, he says you might be stronger than me, but I will do one more set than you no matter what.
Oh, No matter what.
Yeah. This guy, I really recommend you guys looking at the YouTube videos on. They're pretty fascinating. This guy, he's got to be about 55, and he is a crazy person, obviously. Has the stone cold facial hair. His neck is a fire plug. I enjoy watching men under 300 pounds squat 1,000 pounds. It's kind of awesome.
Oh my God. That is absolutely magnificent. That's the best part is I will do one more set than you.
I was reading that. I was like, what? Everybody, yeah, they call him the Bill Bradsky of weightlifting. apparently, when you walk into his gym, he has his own special gym, the Lex Extreme Group. And when they go in, they'll say, like, hey, Chuck, how many sets are you planning on? One more than you. And then you're going to say, I quit.
Well, in that mode, let's bring up another insane person. I'm going to do two. Okay. One being Vasily Alexeyev. Okay, who you may remember from being in the montage of the Wide World of Sports growing up. Okay, if you saw a fat Russian powerlifter, at least he looked fat.
I remember this guy.
Oh, hairy as hell, wearing a red onesie that appeared to be seconds away from exploding off of his body. That is Vasily Alexeyev. Okay, Vasily Alexeyev could do all of the following. Okay, snatch, 418 pounds, clean and jerk, 563.2, clean and pressed, 520. That's 520 pounds over his head, okay? One-arm snatch. He could one-arm snatch 231 pounds. 231 goddamn pounds, okay? He was described as including a great deal of variety in his lifting, okay? Which means he had almost no routine, okay? He was fond of taking loaded barbells and kettlebells into a river, throwing it in the water, right? And then lifting in the middle of the river, sometimes with chains on the weights, okay? Middle of the Volga, just throwing kettlebells in. I will lift here. And no matter what the weather was, he'd lift in the middle of the night. He'd lift in the morning. He'd lift whenever he wanted to, all right? He allegedly would total up to 40 tons a session of total lifting in methods that only he knew and that only he determined, even despite – this is, by the way, in an age when Russian lifters couldn't lift anything the coaches didn't tell them to do, okay? He would cut down trees on his for fun on his days off, all right? That's it. He would actually never fully rest. He was one of the guys who was the most influential guys behind barbell complexes because he was like, you shouldn't ever drop a weight. You should put it down. and this is all from this great article in him from Chaos and Pain, which includes Alexeyev was I can find a little more on his diet and other than he allegedly ate 36 egg omelets for breakfast.
I remember hearing about that. I remember one time he came on the screen and my mom started screaming at my dad to turn off the television. That's how awesome that guy is.
Yeah, the other guys didn't touch booze during their training or anything. Alexeyev drank everything. Anything he wanted to, whenever he wanted to, okay? And was an absolute beast of a human being. So cartoonishly large, cartoonishly strong, and had arteries that were probably just clogged with 36 egg omelets. But he was a champion nonetheless and a terrifying powerlifter. Vasily.
Kind of interesting thing about him, too, I just read, is he led the unified Russian Olympic team. He was the head strength coach for them in the 92 Summer Games. 10 medals under his leadership.
Yeah,
5 golds.
Not so bad. Probably because he was waking him up in the middle of the night being like, now we deadlift cars.
Yeah.
Now. And I will include a link to this. The other one would be from 70s Big, who's been doing a female day. Every Monday they do the ladies. I would do, I'll include this for the gentleman. That would be Lily, who has no last name, presumably because she doesn't want to be stalked. But 140 pounds and doing five sets of 185 times 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pushing it.
Working it. And yeah. By the way, 140 pounds. So we're not talking like, you know, it's lean. There's not a lot to her and putting out a tremendous amount of power. So kudos to you, Lily. With that, I think we are wrapped up for the Squatland Yard podcast. Closing thoughts, Mr. Muscles?
Oh, man. Well, I'm just jealous that, you know, Vasily won the Order of Friendship of Peoples from in 1972. From the kind of bitter about that. I would like to win that award.
Vasily, listen, they gave that to him out of fear. You know, they're like, hey, listen, have we nominated this dude for the award? And the minute they thought about it, they were like, oh, we better give it to him, man.
He presented it inside a 36-egg omelet. He found it inside the 36-egg omelet.
He ate it. He only heard it when it clanked into the toilet a day later, right?
Yeah.
Which, actually, that may not have been that unusual for him, because I'm pretty sure he probably ate kettlebells.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, That's probably what happened, and yeah, he was just an absolute beast. I will also say this tonight. I learned that you're an emotional lifter, Rick Muscles.
Working out my problems.